and invite God to speak to us, shall we? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Again, your word is truth, and we live in a day and age where people seem to reject the notion of absolute truth. Father, thank you, though, that your word stands the test of time. And as we continue our look at the Ten Commandments, as we've seen over the past number of weeks, these commandments are much deeper than what they appear to be on the surface. Each one is rich with meaning. Each one has application for us here and now. These are not commandments from the distant past. They are your word. They are your moral commands for us. And so may you just encourage us and speak to us today and use this message to continue to facilitate growth in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's often said that crime doesn't pay. Just ask the man who a few years ago walked into a bank and proceeded to write a check. Then he went over to a teller and handed her a note which said, "This is a robbery. Give me all your money." She did as she was told, and the man left the bank with a bag full of cash. At that point, the teller turned the note over and noticed that the man had written it on the back of his personal check. His personal check had his name and address printed on it. By the time the robber got home, the police were already waiting for him. In Scotland, a shoplifter named Aaron Morrison was picked up after stealing a bottle of vodka from a liquor store. It didn't take Sherlock Holmes to find Morrison. Before he took off with the stolen goods, he noticed that the clerk was kind of cute, so he asked her out on a date and left his name and phone number with her. Then there was the more recent case of a man in Virginia who robbed a 7-Eleven convenience store. He went to great lengths to hide or to try to hide his identity. He wore a ski mask and even used a rental car to commit the crime. But he forgot one important thing. He committed the robbery while he was wearing his work uniform, which had his name and workplace stitched across the front. He was soon arrested. And finally, one more. In Germany, a bank robber sent mocking emails to local police, ridiculing their efforts to arrest him. First, he let them know that they had his age, build, and accent all wrong. Then he corrected their announcement that he had escaped on foot. No, he was escaping his crimes in a getaway car. The cops got the last word in, though, when they arrested the guy a few hours later. They simply used his email to trace him. Well, today's message is part 8 in a series of messages called A Fresh Look at the Ten Commandments. A few weeks ago, we looked at the sixth commandment, which upholds the value of human life. The Sunday before I left for vacation, we looked at the seventh commandment, which upholds and protects the sanctity of marriage and the family. Today, we move on to the eighth commandment, which protects the value of personal property. In four simple words, this commandment says, you shall not steal. Stealing can be defined as taking something without permission that doesn't belong to you or doesn't belong to me. That seems straightforward, but as we unfold the meaning of these words, we're going to see that there is more to this commandment than what appears on the surface. To understand the prohibition against stealing, it's important for us to understand 5 points, all of which are foundational teachings of Scripture. I want to briefly touch on each of these 5 points, and then I'll explore a couple of them a little later in greater depth in this message. First, point number 1, God owns everything. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all who live in it." So God is the owner of everything. Point number 2, everything I have is ultimately a gift from God. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Third, I am a steward or manager of the gifts and resources God has blessed me with. 1 Peter 4:10 says, Each of you shall use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are each accountable to manage what God has entrusted to us. Fourth, I must respect the property of every person. Commandment number 8 presupposes the right for people to have private property. Several other passages in Scripture also refer to the right to acquire and own property. I'll speak to this a little later. Point number 5, I must be a giver, not a taker. We are all called to be generous with what God has blessed us with, whether it's a lot or it's a little. Ephesians 4:28 says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. In a few moments, we're going to explore what commandment number 8 means and how it applies to our lives. But before we do that, I think it's important to explore 2 biblical principles which lie beneath this commandment. These 2 principles shed greater light on the reasons why God gave us the 8th commandment. First, there is the principle of private property. Throughout history, numerous Christians have sold their possessions and taken a vow of poverty based on their belief that poverty is a virtue. Other people have used the Bible to try and support various political philosophies like communism. Now, my purpose isn't to delve into political philosophy, but it's important for us to be clear, as I mentioned just a moment ago, the 8th commandment assumes that it is legitimate to have possessions. In Scripture, God affirms the private ownership of property and material goods. Exodus chapter 22 deals entirely with the subject of private property. And throughout that chapter, God gave the Israelites a series of civil laws that relate to property rights. God clearly condemned theft and the destruction of another person's property. Biblically speaking, the key issue when it comes to material possessions is our attitude toward them. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Jesus was not saying that possessions have no value. We all possess things that have value to us. He was pointing out that we need to put our money and our possessions in their proper place. Material things must never occupy the central or most important place in our lives. That place is reserved for God and for God alone. A second principle behind this commandment is the principle of stewardship. While it is true that Scripture affirms the ownership of private property, it is also true that God is the rightful owner of everything that you and I possess. Psalm 24:1, which I alluded to a moment ago, says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Ultimately, everything we have from God comes from God and belongs to Him. Author Jerry Bridges writes that we can have 3 basic attitudes toward our possessions. We can say, "What's yours is mine, and I'll take it." That's the attitude of a thief. Or we can say, "What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it all to myself." That's the attitude of selfish greed. Or we can say, "What's mine is God's. I'll share it and use it for God's glory." The principle of stewardship goes back to the book of Genesis, where God commissioned human beings to rule over creation as stewards of God's created order. We are not to exploit creation, but to work it and take care of it. The principle of stewardship reminds us that we are caretakers of God's created order. We are called to use our talents and resources for God's glory and to avoid exploiting others for material gain. Way back in the 1940s, a chain of restaurants in the United States implemented an honor system for paying your bill. When you finished your meal, you would simply drop your bill in a little box at the front of the restaurant along with the appropriate amount of money. Well, a few years back, this chain of restaurants reopened using the same honor system. But it soon became clear that what worked in the 1940s and the 1950s would no longer work today in the 21st century. Almost no one was paying what he really owed, and the restaurant chain was losing money fast. There were too many people being dishonest. In a similar example, the state of Delaware opened a new toll highway and decided to run it based on the honor system. A stack of envelopes was left at the toll booth. Anyone who didn't have the correct change could pick up an envelope, take it home, and then mail it in with the appropriate amount of money included in that envelope. This little experiment in honesty lasted exactly 20 days. During that time, 26,000 people picked up an envelope instead of putting in money. Of those 26,000 envelopes, only 582 were returned, which equals 2%. Of the 582 envelopes which were returned, most of them were empty, or they were filled with paper clips instead of money. And I think these stories illustrate something important. God has given the Eighth Commandment for a good reason. There are people who will steal or take advantage of others when they are given the opportunity to do so. So let's take a closer look at the meaning of commandment number 8. More specifically, what are the implications of this commandment? The first implication is that God requires us to respect the property that belongs to others. Under the Old Testament law, one of the penalties for stealing was restitution. When a person stole something from someone else, the thief often had to pay back double or more what he had stolen. Listen to Exodus 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. Underlying the Old Testament concept of restitution is the idea that private property has value to the owner, and therefore God instructs us to respect what belongs to other people. Let me give you a second implication of the Eighth Commandment. We ought to be completely trustworthy. We ought to be completely trustworthy. Toward the end of Ephesians 4, which I read earlier in the service for you, we are given a set of instructions regarding how believers are to conduct themselves. Verse 28 says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Simply put, Scripture calls us to be completely trustworthy in our conduct. As with the other commandments, obeying the Eighth Commandment is really an issue of our heart because it relates to our character. The Eighth Commandment applies to employees and employers. It means that an employee should work hard and responsibly for his or her employer. On the other side of the coin, an employee's with fairness. This commandment means that we do not shortchange anyone. We don't exploit people. Honest work for fair wages is a biblical principle of justice that runs throughout all of Scripture. As Martin Luther once said many centuries ago, a Christian shoemaker has a duty to make a good shoe and sell it at a good price. Obeying the Eighth Commandment implies that we be completely honest and trustworthy in how we deal with other people. Trust, of course, is the basis for all healthy relationships. For example, if trust is absent from a marriage, a friendship, or in the workplace, you have suspicion. And when you have suspicion, you have resentment and fear. Obeying the Eighth Commandment is important because it is the basis for trust, and trust is the foundation for good, healthy relationships. Here's a third meaning behind the commandment. We ought to be generous with the possessions that we have. The eighth commandment means much more than not stealing from others. In a positive sense, it means that we recognize God as the source of our blessings. In turn, we use our possessions and our gifts to be a blessing to others. Underlying this commandment is a call to live with generosity, compassion, and kindness. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Likewise, 1 Timothy 6:18 tells us to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. A fourth meaning of the eighth commandment is the following: we ought to be content with the possessions we have. In an affluent society like ours, contentment is very, very hard to attain, isn't it? We are constantly being bombarded with advertising, with marketing that seeks to make us unhappy with what we have. Products become obsolete almost from the moment we take them home. How often do we complain about what we don't have? Complaining ignites an attitude of unhappiness and discontentment. Listen to these words of wisdom from Hebrews 13:5. "Keep yourselves from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you.'" I want to draw your attention to a fifth point. The eighth commandment teaches us that we need to trust God to supply our needs. When we break the eighth commandment, we're essentially saying that we can't trust God. If we take something that doesn't belong to us, we're saying that the Lord is not able to give us everything we genuinely need. Furthermore, when we fail to give faithfully to the Lord's work by withholding money that should be given, we rob God of the opportunity to supply our needs. Isaiah 58:11 promises, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Do we trust and believe that God supplies what we truly need? The eighth commandment is there to teach us to trust God as our provider. Well, one afternoon, there was a guy in Galveston, Texas. He was at the beach with two buckets full of fish that he had just caught in the ocean. The guy didn't have a fishing license, and he was a little worried that the game warden was going to come by and catch him. And sure enough, as the guy was leaving the area, he saw the game warden. The game warden approached him and asked him to stop. The warden asked the guy, "Do you have a license to catch those fish?" The man replied to the game warden, "No, sir, I don't need a license because these are my pet fish." "Your pet fish?" the warden asked. "Yes, sir. Every night I take these fish down to this beach and let them swim around for about 30 minutes. And when I whistle, they all come back, jump into my buckets, and I take them home. We do this every single night." "That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, because fish don't do that," the warden said. "No, really," said the guy. "Here, I'll show you." And then he released the fish back into the ocean. "Well, I've got to see this," the warden replied. So the guy and the warden stood there and waited and waited and waited. And after several minutes, the game warden turned to the guy and said, "Well?" "Well, what?" the guy asked. "When are you going to call them back?" the warden said. "Call who back?" the man said. With impatience, the warden says, "When are you going to call the fish back?" The man looked at the warden and said, "What fish?" I'm not sure you get that, do you? No? Okay. There are many creative ways to violate the eighth commandment. And as we've seen today, there are many ways we can break the commandment not to steal. We break this commandment by taking what doesn't belong to us. We break it when we fail to be trustworthy in our dealings with others, even in the smallest things. And we violate it when we fail to acknowledge God as the source of our blessings. Having pointed out all the ways we break the eighth commandment, I want to close this morning with a more positive perspective. How can we keep this commandment? How do we keep it? Let me suggest three positive things we can do to apply this commandment to our lives. First, we can strive to be a good steward of God's resources. In the Old Testament book of Malachi, God said that those who do not give a tithe of their income were robbing God. They were keeping wealth that belonged to the Lord. And one of the ways we steal is by withholding from God what rightfully belongs to Him. Keeping the eighth commandment involves being a good steward of the money and possessions that God has entrusted to each one of us. Second, we apply this commandment to our lives by living with integrity and with honesty. A few years ago, the Dean of Medicine at the University of Alberta had to apologize for plagiarizing his convocation speech. It is estimated that employee theft in North America costs businesses more than $55 billion a year. The internet, of course, has made it easy for pastors to steal sermons, for students to steal term papers, and professionals to steal speeches. Technology like AI makes it easier than ever before to plagiarize material. More than ever, the world needs to see followers of Christ who keep their word and who live with integrity in all areas of life, because integrity and honesty are in short supply. Third, we keep this commandment by practicing contentment and gratitude. Honoring the eighth commandment begins when we are truly grateful for what we have instead of focusing on what we do not have. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe." A grateful heart makes us more content. It makes us more willing to trust God and more compassionate toward others. Like every single one of the Ten Commandments, God for our benefit and for the benefit of society. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this commandment. And Lord, as we've looked this morning at ways in which we break or violate this commandment, there are also ways in which we can keep this commandment by living with grateful hearts, being content with what you have given us, recognizing you as the source of our blessings, being faithful stewards of the resources and gifts that you have given to us. Father, help us to live out this commandment. Help us to live out your word each and every day, knowing that when we do so, our lives are enriched and blessed. And Father, it leads ultimately to a healthy society and to healthy relationships. So we thank you again for this eighth commandment, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we close this morning with our final song, Blessed Assurance. Let us continue to worship God.